Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Peace be with you. I am Bruce Wozniak. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. Thanks so much for joining me for this and hopefully many other episodes. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. You can listen there, but there are also links there to hear the show on all kinds of podcast listening apps, and there are links on the website to Catholic Sports Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can send comments through the website. Plus, there is also a Facebook group, which is called the Catholic Sports Radio Community. There are listeners of this show in that group, as well as some former guests. There is a button for that, too, on catholicsportsradio.net. Please help me spread the word about this show and tell others who would enjoy and benefit from listening about Catholic Sports Radio. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. It's amazing how much buildup there is to a new sports season starting. Newspapers and magazines will publish massive features dedicated to a season preview. In some places, you'll see a countdown to the first day of games. Sports bars will have promotions centered around opening day. Fans will hold fantasy sports drafts to fill out a team of players to keep track of throughout the season. There's a lot of time and even to some extent expense put into the lead up to the start of a new sports season. In the church, we are now in the final days before Christmas. Advent is and has been a wonderful time to prepare our homes and our hearts for the coming of Jesus. It's a special season on the liturgical calendar and one that we should be celebrating far more than the start of any sport getting its new campaign off the ground. This is a time to rededicate ourselves and to embrace the baby Jesus, just as his mother Mary did more than 2,000 years ago, and then go out and show his presence to the world, much in the way that we like to proudly pull our favorite sports team's jersey on at the start of a new sports season. Receive the gift of the birth of Jesus and carry him with you no matter what time of year it is or isn't. Merry Christmas, everyone. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest is the Assistant Director of Strength and Conditioning for Football at Ohio State University. He previously worked in similar positions at the University of Maryland and at Mississippi State University. As a student athlete, he was a three-year member of the Michigan State football team after having been an all-state football player for Detroit Catholic Central High School. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Nico Palazzetti.
Thanks for having me on, Bruce. Excited to be here. Thank you.
Absolutely. You bet. Nico, let's start out by giving the audience a chance to get to know you a little bit. You come from quite a unique family.
Yeah, that's the one way to put it. Well, first off, I'm very blessed to have the family I do. Born and raised in Metro Detroit, and growing up religiously, I was a bit of a religious mutt, if you will. So my mom is Greek, my dad is Italian, and so I was kind of a very ethnic background. And so my mom and I were baptized Greek Orthodox, and my dad was baptized Catholic. And so my dad went to Catholic high school. He was very impacted by his Catholic faith. My mom was very, you know, religious with her kind of Greek Orthodox background and that lifestyle that goes with it. So it was a very kind of ethnic background and very religious. But I grew up going to a Greek Orthodox church. That was kind of what I grew up with. And then outside of that, just because of the structuredness, and it just at the time of our lives, it was something we were looking to get out of. And so what we did was we tried to experiment with a bunch of different other churches. So we experimented with Methodist church. We experimented with non-denominational. We bounced around a lot religiously. And so it was an exciting time, to be honest. You never really knew what church you're going to. and you just kind of bounced around, and you were flexible and you were dynamic. And it gave me a great appreciation for other perspectives and other points of emphasis of people's faith. Mm. And so I kind of grew up, very diverse in that regard. And so it gave me a really broad perspective kind of growing up. And I respected my parents for being brave enough to kind of really actively seek out the faith that kind of fit their temperament and their personality and their faith life.
And how? So it was about middle school when your family finally settled into the Catholic Church. What do you remember about that time in your life when you were in middle school and got settled then in terms of we're going to do this Catholic Church thing now after having looked at all these other ones that you just talked about?
Yeah. So my father went to Catholic school. He went to a Brazilian school in Canada called Assumption High School. And so I was coming of age where I was going to get ready to go to high school. And so we were trying to determine what high schools we're going to. And there was a Catholic high school that was also the same brotherhood, the same priesthood. It was the Brazilian priesthood in Detroit. And so for me, I was kind of being groomed to go to this Catholic high school. Mm. And it was something we were really excited about. My sister was 3 years older than me, and she was going to a Catholic high school as well. So we were coming from from middle school. We're going to a Catholic high school. So obviously it's I don't want to say it's intimidating, but when you're not Catholic going to a Catholic high school, you know, you're with your friend group and you're with all these people who are going to this high school. And so the thing that was really exciting for me was I was in all these sports and all these different activities with all these guys, and they were my friends, but they were going to the high school that I was going to. And they were also parish members at Our Lady of Victory Church in Northville, Michigan. And it just happened to be that because it was the direction we were going for school, because it was my friend group, because I was busy doing activities and sports with these guys, it kind of all was a perfect transition into a path into the church.
Okay.
And I remember the first time I went, it was very familiar and very comfortable. It was the first time I'd really been to a Catholic mass consistently, but at the same time, I really enjoyed it because it kind of took me back to the Orthodox roots, the liturgy and the tradition and the ways to worship and to come closer to God. And for me, it fit my personality perfectly. And I absolutely loved it. And we're also blessed with a great priest who's still there, Father Dennis Thoreau. He married me. He's an absolute incredible priest, and the way the warmth that he presents newcomers into his church was incredible. So it was a perfect fit for my dad. It was the perfect fit for my mom. It was the perfect fit for me and my sister. It was a great fit overall for the family. It was comfortable. We were welcomed, and we've been going there ever since. And it's been a new home. I got married there. I love it there. I'm looking to baptize my child there, like it's my future child. But it's a home for us, and it's a place that I love and I adore.
What a great story, and what great memories that you have. And you did a wonderful job of painting a really clear picture to us of what that was like at that point in your life. But what about football, though? What's your earliest memory of the sport and seeing it as something that you really wanted to compete in?
Yeah, I absolutely love football. It was part of my life since the time I grew up. My parents, my family, my father did it. His five brothers all did it. I mean, it's been part of our family identity since I can remember. And so to play football, it just seemed like a birthright almost. It just seemed like everything I wanted to do. And I had a passion for it much before I had a skill set for it. So I've always loved it. I haven't been always good at it. So I've kind of developed into, I remember I was just a very mediocre football player with a big passion for it. And then by the time I got to about eighth grade, I started to mature physically, and it all kind of coincided. And when I entered high school, I was still a very raw player, very not physically dominant by any stretch of the imagination, but I just had the mentality and the passion and the work ethic to kind of work my way into being a successful football player. And I was blessed enough to get a full ride scholarship to Michigan State to play football there. And I played fullback, which is rare because fullback's kind of a dying breed. It's like the last of the Mohicans. Mm-hmm. So to actually get offered a scholarship for that position was like, it was divine. Let's just say that it was a miracle. So.
Well, and maybe it had something to do with the fact that you were coming from a Catholic high school. Let's chalk it up to that. But I know that you're not going to have to search through your memories to see what you can remember about high school, because you told me yesterday that for you, that remains as some of the most formative times in your life. And this, listeners, we're not talking about the football that Nico did play in high school. So Nico, go ahead and share that with the audience.
I am beyond blessed to have attended Detroit Catholic Central High School. And it was a co-ed high school. It's a very strict discipline oriented school. It's a motto is teach me goodness, discipline, and knowledge. And I think the minute you step into that school, that's what they teach. It's an incredible school. It's a place where the administration, the priests, the teachers, the coaches, everyone is aligned into making you a man. And you come in as a naive, what are you, 12, 13 years old, whatever you are going, you know, as a ninth grader. And they really do an incredible job of teaching you what it looks like to be a man of God, to have goodness, discipline, and knowledge, and to exude that in everything that you do. And it's really cool because obviously extracurriculars are incredibly big there. No matter if it's academics, if it's athletics, if it's band, if it's drama, whatever it is, they really teach you to pursue outside of just being a student. And I think that the beauty of that school and the beauty I think of high schools in general is it allows you to pursue your passions. And whatever it is, I think that school enabled us to pursue it. And I think that school is incredibly successful at everything they do because they push that. They push that. And the teachers and the administrators and the priests, they're so good at building you up and demanding you and holding you to a standard of what that school is. It's not just mercy. It's toughness. It's discipline. It's sacrifice. It's all the great things that make you a man and sharpen you and harden you. And they have such support and love behind it, guiding those actions and behaviors and the conversations you have. So I couldn't have been more blessed. It literally made me the man I was. It tested me. It challenged me.
Wow.
It sharpened me. And I mean, the friends there, they're still the closest friends I have, the brothers to me. And it was a really special place. It really was.
Fantastic. Fantastic. And obviously the recipe that Nico just described was one that led to success, because I want to toot his horn for him a little bit here. In 2009, Nico, your high school football team won the Division I state championship, went unbeaten at 14-0, and you rushed for 1,279 yards and 24 touchdowns. Clearly, you were thinking major college football all the way at that point, yes?
I was optimistic. I was hoping, like I touched on earlier, Bruce, the position I played, I was kind of a hybrid running back fullback. And the blessing was that I was a part of a really great team with an identity of toughness, an identity of brotherhood. And that really pushed me to success. And when we won the state championship, to be honest, there wasn't a whole lot of collegiate attention. And it was somewhat upsetting. It was somewhat, I want to say depressing, but it weighed heavy on your heart. You know, I felt like I had a very successful senior year, and I developed later than most, and became kind of, reached success later than most. You know, it was my senior year. And, you know, now in recruiting, it's an earlier kind of, very rarely do seniors get offered that late after their senior year. Earlier on, freshman year. And so there wasn't a whole lot of college attention. There wasn't a whole lot of opportunities. And, I think good things happen to those that wait. And I was blessed enough. And I do honestly believe that I was put to Michigan State. Obviously, we'll touch on that in a little bit. potentially not even to play football, but to get into my career path. But whatever it was, somehow Michigan State had an offer, and they offered me late, literally about 3 days before signing day. And it was complete. I remember I was on the phone with Coach Mark D'Antonio, and I went on a visit the weekend prior. So it was about Monday, and I was so anxious, and he called late. So I'd been waiting by the phone all day long. He calls late. He goes, you know, we'd like to offer you a scholarship. And my mom is at my ear listening, trying to get if it was good news or not. And I burst into tears. My dad's crying. My mom's crying. My sister was a Michigan State Spartan. So it was an incredible experience and one that I was very blessed. But definitely because of the team that we had, the success that we had as a team, that was the only reason I received any recognition, was because of my teammates and the success we had. So.
Amazing. Amazing. And listeners, I wish there was a fairy tale continuation of this story, but Nico unfortunately suffered a career-ending injury while playing football for Michigan State, a challenge that I want him to share with us in terms of how he handled that emotionally and spiritually. But first, every week on Catholic Sports Radio, you hear me saying that I don't have any sponsors and I don't get any income from doing the show. And so as a result, all of the expenses have to come out of my pocket. In fact, last week I had a Facebook ad running, which was $25, and now I'm faced with a decision that could potentially involve a $150 price tag. Someone told me that they think this show is good enough to win a Gabriel Award, which is given out each year by the Catholic Press Association. However, to even be considered for it, there's a submission process, and that $150 just to enter. So these are two examples of the costs I'm referring to when you hear me every week refer to the financial components that come with me doing all of this by myself. I had also given out other examples way back on episodes 53 through 60, and then another expense was mentioned on episode 67 with a clarification to it 1 week later on episode 68. The bottom line is, if you like what I'm doing, if you enjoy Catholic Sports Radio, if it's helping your faith life and you see value in everything I put into this and deliver, I'd greatly appreciate your support. There is a convenient way to contribute, which is the Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. It's easy and secure and allows you to contribute in whatever amount you wish. There is no drop-down menu of amounts. There's no minimum. Alternatively, as some others have done, you can instead get in touch with me through the contact section of the website and ask me for the mailing address to send a check to. Regardless of which method you use, I do truly appreciate everyone who contributes and will even happily say your name on Catholic Sports Radio, as you heard me do on the last two episodes, or give you a public thanks via social media, or of course you can choose to keep it anonymous. I would greatly appreciate your prayerful consideration of a contribution to Catholic Sports Radio and helping me to continue on and give back with my time and talent in an effort to move more people closer to Christ. Nico, I'm sure you would much rather talk about the 1,279 rushing yards and 24 touchdowns in that championship season in high school, but share with us, if you would, that moment in college when you get injured and you learn that your football playing days are over. Share with the audience about how you navigated through that obviously emotional time.
Ironically, Bruce, I'd probably much rather talk about this moment.
Wow.
So when I was going into my junior year, my senior year as a football player, my redshirt junior year technically, and I had been injured the year prior with chronic neck injuries. And so the coaches were graceful enough to allow me to have one more opportunity to come back and play. So I came back the beginning of the 2013 season and made it about 2 weeks in camp, but I still had just chronic nerve injuries in my neck. And actually, it was during a scrimmage that I suffered another injury in my neck and was forced to medically DQ, disqualify. I didn't tell you this, Bruce. The same day, my girlfriend, who's now my wife's, her mother passed away of cancer.
Oh, my gosh.
And my uncle was an alcoholic, and he relapsed with alcoholism, and he was actually staying with my family that whole weekend. So it was an incredibly trying period because, for me, I was mourning something that my identity was based on, to be honest. My identity was based on who I was as a football player. Unfortunately, the reality was that it was part of who I was. It was part of how people identified me. It was how I kind of communicated myself to others was that I played football, and that was part of me, who I was. And then on top of that, I was also mourning the loss of my mother-in-law. And then I was also was trying to be supportive to my family and my uncle. It was an incredibly difficult time. And I'm not going to lie to you. I was challenged. It was the defining moment of my life, Bruce. It really was. And so I went home, and I first off, after I was done, I drove back to my apartment, punching the steering wheel, cursing God. I was furious. I was crying. I was upset because for me, it was, I had everything that I had wanted and everything that I had worked for my entire life up to that point. And to have it removed like that was almost right before I felt like I was at the point where I wanted to be, where I dreamed to be. For me, it was heartbreaking and it was cruel almost. I was angry. I was angry. And on top of that, I had to mask it because I couldn't really mourn it. I didn't really have time to mourn it because I had to go be supportive to the people that were actually suffering true loss. And so I went home and support my girlfriend, and her family. And I had this burning feeling in my heart, Bruce. I really was. I was burning in my heart. And my mom, I was going to go back up to school the weekend after the end of the weekend. So it was Sunday and I was going to go up and I had to talk to Coach Antonio and tell him that I had to make my decision to medically DQ. And, I was in a dark place because, to be honest, I didn't want to just be thrown in the corner. I wanted to provide value, whether it was playing football or not. I wanted to provide value and I knew I had value to provide. I was nervous and anxious that I wasn't going to be valued and I was just going to just kind of go on my way, graduate and leave Michigan State without leaving the impact that I hoped
when I
entered as a freshman. And so my mom, she goes, let's go to church, ironically enough. And I said, Ma, I'm not in the mood. Like, honestly, I'm not in the mood. We had been at church all weekend after the funeral. I was heavy. I just wanted to just not do it. She willed me to go. And I just remember going and just praying and being still. And it allowed me to just be still in the fact. And God really kind of spoke to my heart. And I just prayed that whatever his intentions for my life was, that I trust it and allow him to work through me. And it was a simple prayer, but I just remember feeling a lot of peace. I just felt peace. And when you play college football, when you play college athletics, when you play athletics in general, it's very stressful because a lot of times you're performance based, right? Like you're performance based because you think that your success determines your value. And so it's an up and down process, especially with social media and especially with the coaching feedback. Your value of yourself can be very up and down. And then when it's removed from you, you feel almost naked. And so when I remember praying that, I remember feeling warmth and feeling acceptance and feeling loved and feeling grace. I hadn't felt that in a long time. Wow. I hadn't felt that in a while. And so driving up, I was almost given additional courage and I felt great. And so I drove back up and I talked to Coach Antonio and they were grateful enough to just throw me in and actually make me an intern in the strength department. Mm. And from there, to be honest, Bruce, that's the reason I went to Michigan State. It wasn't to play football. It was to meet the people that were going to push me to my career path and to push me to be a strength coach and to push me in my career path. So that was a very long winded answer. I apologize for that, but that's why I'm going to talk about that. So
yeah, I can tell. And thank you for exposing your wounds. Thank you for making yourself vulnerable. Thank you for sharing that whole story. It obviously was a very, very, very defining moment in your life, as you said. But for the listeners, I want you to really dig into that story that Nico just opened his heart up and shared with us, because, you know, what I was hearing in there, Nico, was here's a guy, listeners, who had just spent the first part of this interview talking about that real solid foundation that had been built, right? He told us about Detroit Catholic Central High School and how they really shaped him to be a man. And all of a sudden, we hear this a lot of times, don't we, on Catholic Sports Radio, where someone goes off to college and all of a sudden you say, okay, now's the real test. You know, that part was easy. You were at home with mom and dad and you're kind of going, but you know, you're getting your reps is the point I'm trying to make here. And we hear that a lot in sports, you know, getting the reps and going to practice all the time, right? My ministry moment last week, if you heard that interview, my ministry moment was about practice, to use the Allen Iverson expression. And so if we practice our faith regularly, just as athletes practice their sport, then when something happens like this that Nico endured, and Nico, you know, when you mentioned that you were punching the steering wheel, that told me, and I had to learn this from my spiritual director at one point, that told me that you felt close enough with God that you could get angry with him. Mm. So listeners, even that is something that is a positive sign. Like, the fact that you're getting mad at God means that you are close enough in your faith that you feel that relationship with him, that you want to talk to him and let him know what you're really feeling. So don't worry about the long-winded answer. I think that's wonderful testimony, and that's something that is really going to impact a lot of listeners. So I'm glad you shared that with us. I want to stay in that period that you're at Michigan State, though, because in addition to finding your calling in strength and conditioning, you were also involved with Athletes in Action. I'd just like you to talk a little bit about that group and some of the outreach that y'all did.
It's a great group. It was very supportive to me. It was a great group of fellow athletes, and it was a great group of leadership. And so I got into it at an early age, early on in my college career. So where I was a freshman, a lot of the upperclassmen were doing it. Very influential leaders. Kirk Cousins, who's now the starting quarterback for the Vikings, Minnesota Vikings, he was a huge outspoken proponent of it. And he kind of pushed a lot of the younger guys into it. And I'm thankful for his mentorship. His older brother, Kyle, was actually huge in my walk. We had our Bible studies weekly, and he was a big proponent of it. And it was cool to see leaders of teams, leaders outspoken, and not just hiding in the corners, but outspoken and then living it.
Yeah.
And so for me, that made a huge impression on me and really pushed me to join this group, Athletes in Action. It was great. I did it all my years, even when I was in coaching. Even when I was in coaching, I would come back and try to give back and try to meet new athletes and talk and just provide some type of contribution. But what we did was we'd go to a yearly retreat in Chicago, which was really cool. One of the cool things that we did was we would go to a basketball camp or a youth camp or some type of camp. It kind of changed every year, but you kind of had to just mentor kids and talk to kids about your relationship with God. And that was a very awkward experience. So at that point, I had never really spoken to anyone about my faith, let alone trying to communicate that. And I thought it was cool because they kind of gave us a script and how to kind of approach it. But you know me, I don't care. I scrump it up. I throw it. I'm doing this live. Let's go. So, and I think that made it a lot more authentic and real and nervous for me, because I had to be authentic and honest and open up my heart and be transparent where I struggle. And I thought it was cool. And that sharpened me up. That changed me up. That forced me to be accountable to myself and my faith. And then also, in the spring of 2013, me and my best friends, we all went to South Africa, to Johannesburg, South Africa, on a mission trip. And it was incredible. It was incredible. And we used the platform of athletics to meet people, to meet rugby players, and soccer players, and all these incredible, college age athletes. And it was such a cool experience. It really shaped me. It showed me that a lot of things that we rely on in America were just a myth. They're not real. And you see the life satisfaction, you see the joy over there with not even half of what we have material wise. And it shows you that where value is. So I think what Athletes in Action was really big for me was it was a constant reminder, and it's still a reminder in my life is, what are you worshiping? What are you worshiping? Are you worshiping your sport? Are you worshiping your career? Are you worshiping your value or your worth or whatever, your reputation? Like, what are you valuing? What are you worshiping? Because everyone has a God. And even if it is, even if it's not, even if you say it's God, it might not be. And for me, Athletes in Action was the first challenge for me to look into my faith and really ask, what am I worshiping? Am I worshiping God? Am I worshiping Jesus Christ? Or am I worshiping my sport and the validation I get from it? And now I ask myself that. I asked myself that 2 days ago, Bruce, to be honest. Am I valuing my career and my reputation and my career advancement? Or am I worshiping God? And anytime I stray too far, and anytime I don't worship God, I can tell, because the way I interact, the joy I have, the passion I have in my life completely diminishes. And I'm not an effective coach or a husband or anything like that. So for me, what am I worshiping? I learned that at Athletes in Action, and I've carried that on in my life. I constantly have to ask myself to evaluate that with my myself and my faith.
Well, and similarly, and you mentioned this before, and listeners, I don't mind that this comes up a number of times on Catholic Sports Radio. It obviously shows you that the Holy Spirit is present in these conversations, and there's a message that we all need to hear over and over, which is your identity, right? Nico said it earlier. His identity became himself as a football player, and our identity has to be in Christ, not in whether we're a football player or whatever activity we're involved in. You could be a singer, it doesn't matter. And so it sounds like it was a wonderful time for you to be involved with Athletes in Action and all that you were able to live and experience through that. I do want to give you one opportunity to talk about what I'm sure is probably the number one thing you'd really love to talk about instead of football, instead of strength and conditioning, which is 4 years ago you went through the sacrament of holy matrimony.
I did. Absolutely. I married my high school sweetheart. Name's Kelsey Palazzetti, formerly Kelsey Crow. We grew up 20 minutes from each other. I obviously went to Catholic high school, but she went to high school right by mine. Went to Michigan State together. And it's really cool because I'm a GA at Michigan State, and I always warned her in my profession, you can move like this. You can move just incredibly quickly. I always warned her that I could be landing. I was at Michigan State. We're close to home. I could land in the furthest place away. And I'd always joke that it'd be North Dakota or someplace random. I told her that I didn't know if I wanted her to come down because these moves are so temporary and all these things. I kind of warned her, try to prepare her for a relationship. Well, I underestimated my career, and I actually was interviewing for a position at Mississippi State University in Starkville, Mississippi. So I didn't do it justice. So I was going to literally the furthest place away with the biggest cultural shock of all time. And I went down there and I interviewed and I got the job. I was offered that day, and it was an incredible experience, but it was also incredibly daunting because I'm flying back and I'm almost like shaking, going, how am I going to plan this move? And I got to move up my stuff, and what am I going to do? So I get off the plane. I'm waiting for my baggage claim. I'm talking to my best friend. Call him up, and I'm saying, hey, he goes, well, what's Kelsey going to do? And I go, I'm going to propose to her. And he goes, what? And it just kind of splurted out of my mouth. And I said, oh, and I'm 23 years old, freshly 23. I go, I'm going to propose to her. And then for me, it was a very easy decision because I knew her. I told her to stay, and I told her don't come, and I told her all these things, and she laughed at me as if I had any control over her decisions, because she was going to come down. She was a ride or die. She was incredibly supportive of my career and of everything till that point. I knew she was coming down, and for me, the only way to do it was to do it the right way. So in the course of having to move over a weekend, I also talked to her father, asked for his approval,
Wow. Bought
a ring, worked down there for 3 days, flew back, and then proposed to her. It was an incredible experience. Wow. But we ended up getting married the summer after, in June of 2016, at Our Lady of Victory Church. And it was an incredible experience, incredible wedding. And then we moved 6 months later. So, you know, our life's been, it's been fun. It's been a ride. It's been a ride. But her support and her encouragement has been absolutely essential. She's been the best partner I could have ever asked for.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about what you just started to mention, because listeners, for your benefit, I want to remind you that when I first brought Nico on in my intro, I mentioned that whereas he works right now at Ohio State, he previously worked at the University of Maryland and at Mississippi State. So that's three different schools. So, you know, you and Kelsey obviously have been tested early in your marriage, Nico. So, you know, with having had multiple times to move, given the different jobs that I'm mentioning here, what do you think has been the key to getting through all that together?
That's a great question, Bruce. I would say communication. And I would say trust. I think it's funny. So I know I've told a lot of stories, but we were only in Mississippi State for 5 months. Then we moved to Maryland. We were there for a year. We got married when I was at Maryland. So we got married in June. So she'd only been in Maryland for 6 months. In January of 2017, I get a call from Ohio State. And at this point, I'm like sick to my stomach. We'd already moved twice in a year. We just got married. We just settled in our apartment. And I was not in my stomach, and I do not want to move. And I know this is a great opportunity. I know this is what I'm called to do, but I do not want to do it. I call her. The first thing I do is I say, well, you know, I'm humbled for the opportunity. I need to talk to my wife. So I, you know, I hang up, I call Kelsey immediately. And she goes, absolutely. Let's go. Wow. We need to go. We need this job.
Wow.
This is the opportunity that you've been working for. And what an incredible thing that for me, she knew what I needed better than I did. And she pushed through my fears and my anxieties. And that's, I think, what a great spouse does, is that they know the heart of each other. They speak it with communication, with transparency, and with love and support. And love isn't kindness. Love isn't just being nice to people. Love is being supportive, but demanding. And I think that's what's been great in our lives, is because we can check each other. We can communicate with each other. And we know that each other wants the best for each other. And we can call each other out when we're off. And I think that trust in each other and that communication to drive the best for each other, that's been absolutely vital in our relationship.
Just beautiful. Just beautiful. So to close here, this episode is being released the week of Christmas. What will that look like this year, given that we're still in the throes of the pandemic and, of course, Ohio State's football season still going on?
Well, Bruce, to be honest, I didn't even know what day Christmas is, because we're rolling with our practices and stuff. It's been unfortunate. The cool thing that we've been doing, my wife and I have, she's actually been leading an Advent reading every Sunday. And I think that's really cool, because a lot of times in our relationship, I've been the one that's been leading our faith life. So we've gotten into a Bible study and we've done a lot of things. And the really special thing for me was that she has been leading an Advent reading every Sunday, and she's been taking ownership of our faith life together and celebrating Advent and celebrating Christmas. And that's absolutely been huge for us. And it's my favorite part of the year now, because she's been the one that's been owning it, and she's been the one that's been driving our faith life. So what it's going to look like, it'll probably be very small. After our season's over, we're kind of in this bubble right now, so we can't see anyone outside of people that are being tested.
Okay.
Which has been very difficult. I'm not going to lie. It's been very difficult. After our season's over, we will be able to see our parents and really celebrate Christmas. And I think that's been a great reminder for us that it's not exactly the ceremony of it, the pageantry of Christmas. It's really what really matters for us is family and celebrating together and celebrating Jesus's birth. And it hasn't been the easiest Christmas, but it's been incredibly valuable, because you realize what's really important. And it's been a very eye-opening experience this Christmas.
Amen.
Us.
So, Amen.
I'm excited to celebrate it. And we're going to move forward from here.
Awesome. Nico, really great having you on the show. Thank you so much. God bless you and your wife and the work that you're doing, your ministry there at Ohio State, taking care of all those student athletes. And I appreciate you coming on Catholic Sports Radio.
Absolutely, Bruce. Thank you so much for having me. I'm incredibly humbled.
My pleasure. Listeners, we will close with our sportsman's prayer, which we haven't done in a little bit. So let's do that together, of course, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, you have blessed us with our minds, our spirits, and our bodies. Help us always to be good sports. Help us to understand that when we put on the team uniform, we are first and foremost ambassadors of the Catholic faith. May we always remember that those with whom we play and compete are our brothers and sisters in Christ. May we always treat each other with dignity and respect. May our work and play always give you honor and glory. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those. C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. Merry Christmas, everyone. I'm Bruce Wozniak. And remember, it's not whether you win or lose. It's that it's Jesus that you always choose. We'll be right back.
Finding someone on an online Catholic dating site shouldn't be like shopping for a blender. So why do most dating sites leave you feeling like you're shopping for a spouse? At Catholic Singles, we connect members through our unique user polls and activities, which help you discover other members and their personalities and interests. Because you're a person, not a profile picture. So stop shopping and start discerning. Trust your love story to the original Catholic dating site and use the promo code BREADBOX at checkout for 20% off at CatholicSingles.com.